Let me call one thing to your attention about the bulletin this morning. Over here in church news, let me assure you that we do not mail out bulletins on newcomer sin. If you'll read your bulletin, see, nobody's reading it. It says that we mail out newcomer sin. And we don't do that. We do not do that, so we might ought to correct that in the next bulletin. I like you to put that in there once in a while. We'll see if anybody reads the bulletin. You know, there's a major map-making company that sells maps, city maps. And they always put one street in there that's not in there. It doesn't exist. And they do that for patent purposes, to see if anybody copies their maps. That means they'll put a street in there that's not in there, and they have a right to take them to court and sue them. So you have to, hey, if you're going to be alert, you know. By the way, this little circle that's empty, if somebody's not here this morning and you recognize that, well, then just draw another little circle and put their name in there in the bullseye and call them. Fill in the thing, huh? Praise the Lord. We once again are glad for you guests. Please don't be a guest. Come back. We need you. And part of that circle when you're not here is you have a void also. Praise the Lord. All right, one other thing before we get started. I want to tell you that, or warn you, you put a word in there that you want. As you pray for seats to be filled, as you pray for prodigal sons and daughters to return, don't be surprised at anything. Did you hear what I said? Now I want you to respond to me so that I'll know that you said okay if some really strange things happen. So by the Spirit, we'll just warn you, okay? We do believe in expecting the unexpected, right? All right. With that in mind, I'm going to cover one territory today. Shall we bow our heads? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. This morning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and let every other be abolished and smashed to the ground. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done is what we seek. It's the only truth, it's the only light, and without that there's no hope in this earth. We seek you, we seek your truth this morning. We yield to that, we submit to that, we've sung about it, and now we do it in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. We're going to continue our series today on the Lord's Prayer. And the title of the message is, Has Anyone Ever Wronged You? Has anyone ever done you wrong? Now I'm going to answer for you the correct way. No matter how you answer, the answer is no, not ever. No, not ever. Biblically speaking, it's the only thing you can say. If you're a non-Christian, you can tell me about all the people in the world that have hurt you, done you wrong, said bad things, whatever. If you're like Christ, then no one has ever done you wrong. Is that a good way to start? All right. Let me make a quick review of the Lord's Prayer since it's been a Sunday or two since we've talked. I want to remind you why we're studying the Lord's Prayer and what Jesus talked about. Why do we pray? Most people have the opinion that we pray to get out of trouble, when in reality we pray to keep out of trouble. If we'd pray to keep out of trouble, we'd never have to pray to get out of trouble. Now with that in mind, let's continue. Number one, Jesus recommended to pray the Lord's Prayer because we need to change the way we pray. Matthew 6:7, Jesus' words. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that that will be heard for their many words. Nothing's more exciting than a written prayer that covers every politically correct thing. It hits the ceiling, it falls to the floor, God never responds. Jesus was telling us we need to stop those foolish things and teaching us how to pray. Number two, don't spend time praying about your needs. Matthew 6:8. Therefore, do not be like the heathen, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask. Now that's Jesus talking, that's not me. You can argue with me until the world looks level, but when you argue with Jesus, we quickly find out who's wrong. Number three, Jesus wants us to pray in a certain manner, that being His manner. Now come on, I'm going to be quick this morning. Y'all got to stay on the ball. Matthew 6:9, Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray. Number four, prayer has very little to do with you. According to what Jesus says, you should not be praying about things that have to do with you. It has to do with the kingdom. Matthew 6:9. I'm sorry, I jumped. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Is that what it says? 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Is that the way you're spending most of your time praying nowadays? Not asking for things that you need, but asking for the needs of the kingdom be met? Now let me tell you something. It's not about Him. It's about the kingdom. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Number six. We are what God has on earth to establish His kingdom. Let me say it with a little more different emphasis. We are the only thing on earth that God uses to establish His kingdom. You and me. We need to wake up and grow up a little bit and understand. You know, my son called me yesterday and he said, Dad, I want to tell you something. That my grandson that spoke this is four, going on five. That's kind of natural, isn't it? Anyway, I think he heard them pray and he said, Dad, God's not going to answer your prayer. He's retired. He just builds things. You have to pray that Jesus does those things. Well, I don't know if he's theologically correct, totally, but he's beginning to get the idea that in Genesis we're told, the front of the book, we're told that God recreated or created, and then He rested. Never does it say He got up and went to work again. He says He gave His people dominion on this earth to rule. So ever since then, we've been praying, sending Him letters, demanding, beating, crying, and all this kind of stuff, that He'd get back out of retirement, take our responsibilities, and get back to work. Jesus said, this is the way I want you to pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Isn't that strange? A do on you. I don't know if you recognize that or not. I need to say that again. If you pray, thy will be done, you're praying, I will do your will. That's why He tricked us into praying that way. He wants to use us to do His will. That's my number six. He wants us to do His will. His kingdom in our flesh will supply all needs. Not all of our needs, all needs. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Quit pointing somewhere else when you mention the word earth. In most cases, earth is not what you stand on, it's what's standing on you. Because we haven't taken our rightful place in the kingdom. Number seven. All we need to ask for is the food that it takes, or the provision that it takes to do His will, and the provision it takes for His will to be done. Matthew 6:11. Give us this day our daily bread. These are the areas we've already covered. So our goal in prayer should be this. Oh, you're going to like number one. To stop our flesh. The number one goal when we pray is to stop our flesh. I've said it a dozen times. I'll probably say it gross more. And that is this. Every first thought that comes into your mind is wrong. Because it's going to be a flesh thought. There's nobody in this room that is led so carefully by the Holy Spirit that every first thought is the Holy Spirit. Don't lie to yourself, and please don't try to convince me of that. I've seen you work. It's not true. So the first thing we have to do is stop our flesh. That's what prayer's about. Being. The reason we pray is to stop the enemy. Your flesh is not your enemy. Your flesh does resist you, but it's not your enemy. You know that? When you drove here this morning, wind resisted you, but it wasn't your enemy. It's just something we overcome. The enemy, we have to learn to defeat, take dominion over. C, we pray to loose the will of God. Why should we have to do that if every first thought is the will of God? Why should we have to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, if every first thought was God's will? I'm waiting for that answer. You don't have one, at least not a rational one. D, we pray for God's kingdom. You know why we pray for God's kingdom? We wouldn't think that God's kingdom would need prayer. Oh yeah, I just told you he's relying on us. She got it. The reason we're praying is because God is depending on us. We need the help. We need the food. We need the power. E, we pray that we are enabled to do the work of God. How many of you really believe that you're just enabled already to do all of the work of God? Not a chance. There's a new thing tomorrow. And we pray for that bread, that provision, that empowerment to do that new thing tomorrow. F. We pray that we work in His provision and in His time. We pray that we're working in His provision and in His timing. Now, as God showed in numerous times in the Bible, manna, for instance, that sometimes provision can be out of time. And therefore, it's an enemy. Remember? What would happen right now? What would happen to many of us if God would decide to answer your prayers and give you $10 million all at one time? About 98% would destroy yourself. The average is this. The great percentage of people, a great percentage of people that win the lotto end up bankrupt in a few years because they had not been prepared for what was given to them. Thank God we serve. Thank you, Lord, that I serve a CEO that prepares us, gives us a challenge, and gives us a victory when we are prepared. So the process of praying the Lord's Prayer is preparation. That was nearly too many P's. Now for today. Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I want to ask you something. If Jesus himself was trying to move the entire world community of Christians into a different line of prayer, a different way of praying, do you think he might be trying to get us to understand what debt and forgiveness is? The coolest part about the Lord's Prayer is it's very simple. It's so simple that we have a hard time understanding it. So let's work at that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Anybody in here want to be forgiven? Then we best learn what forgiveness and debts means. Right? Okay. We will never do God's work here on earth until we are forgiven. Now, if you go with your own your old understanding of forgiveness, that means none of you will ever be doing God's work. Because many of you are still unforgiven. No. All of you, in the old way of thinking, are still unforgiven. Why? Because there's some people out there that just refuse to forgive you. And there's some people in this room that refuse to forgive themselves. So you're unforgiven. You'll never do the work of God unless we learn what it really means. Come on. Even though I haven't laid anything out clearly, just say amen in faith. We'll keep moving here. We will never do God's work here on earth until we are forgiven, and we will never be forgiven until we learn to forgive. Now I'll ask you something before I read the next part. Is there anybody on the face of this earth that you would refuse to sit down and have dinner with right now? That's a trick question. I wouldn't answer out loud or I'll attack you. I might even know some of them. If there is, we won't go there. We must understand what forgive means, not what we've been told, but what we've been, and not what we've been taught, but what Jesus is referring to right here. Now, I want to remind you of something. This cross represents something. It is not something. It represents something. Please understand, there's absolutely no authority in that cross at all. Not one little bit. Not an ounce. But it represents something that happened to you and I. What does it represent? The death of Jesus? Nope. I don't even like that. It represents the forgiveness of sins, which is our salvation. It represents the forgiveness of our sins. Is that correct? Or somebody else want to accuse me of saying something goofy? Just get in line. That cross represents what Jesus did. Now let me tell you what he did. Let's throw out the religious terminology. Throw it away. Because I hate religion as bad as Jesus does. Here's what he did. You owed a debt. You could not ever pay that debt. He paid it and bought the paper. He did not release you from that obligation. He released you from the sin, but he did not release you to your obligation to him. Anybody in here that's ever bought a house, the first person that you wrote a mortgage with sold that paper. Probably nearly before you could make the first or second payment, it belonged to somebody else. And before you made your fourth or fifth payment, it belonged to somebody else. Because they found a way of making a profit by selling your debt. Jesus thought of it first. He bought your debt. And he's been profiting ever since. Or trying to. Some of you are pretty hard to squeeze money out of. But now he didn't forgive your sins for money. He owned it all anyway. That's not the point. The point is that he bought your debt. Please understand something. It has not been erased. The sin has been erased, but not the debt. What's it going to take to erase the debt? Your entire life. Your salvation came expensive. Expensive to Jesus, necessarily so expensive to you. I hate preachers that teach cheap salvation because it lets you be free, but Jesus knows what it cost him, and he can't forget that. If you signed a card, you're not saved. If you got dunked, you're not saved. If you claim the name of Jesus, you're not saved. You're not saved until he has everything that you got. Everything. Not one ounce is yours. Saved means sozo, safe. The Bible says, those that endure shall be saved. Oops! It was probably a mistranslation. I know you want it to be that way, but it's not. Now listen. I'm going to tell you. Let me keep going. We've been taught that we must release people from the obligation of their sin. That's what we've been taught. We use terminology like the Scripture. We misuse it, I say. That says that thing that's bound on earth is bound in heaven. So if you cross me and I don't forgive you, you ain't going to make it to heaven. Oh, please. Oh, please. Come on. You might not make it to heaven, but you're not going to have anything to do with where they do or not. Why? Because Jesus decides the debt of sin. You don't. We don't. We don't do that. To many in this world that I have had the privilege of shaking hands with, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner to this day. I'm a no-good scoundrel. They've placed themselves in a judgment seat at the right hand of Jesus Christ. They made Mary move over, according to Catholics. Boy, I'm getting all kinds of trouble today, aren't I? And they say, nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus and me. Now, come on. We've all been in that position a little bit. We've had that feeling once in a while. You don't ask me forgiveness, you're not going to make it to heaven. Well, I got some news for you. I didn't pay nothing for you, and you don't owe nothing to me. And just in case you don't understand, that's reciprocal. Right? All right. Then what are we praying about when we pray the Lord's Prayer and it says, forgive us? Well, number one, we're not praying to each other. The Lord's Prayer is not praying to each other. It's praying to God. It's praying to Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Okay? Then what's that other part? What's the other part? Where it says, as we forgive our debtors. Well, let's study and see. Understand, Jesus bought the debt of sin with His blood and death. He only can forgive. We must release our loose to Jesus Christ. Now listen, I want to read you a passage of Scripture, and you don't have to turn there, you know this. This is one Scripture I'm going to try to wear out. Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, said to who? Said to all of you that don't understand what forgiveness and debt is. All of you that cursed the fig tree and it didn't die for you. Why? Because you quite hadn't understood things yet. Isn't that why we pray? Because we don't quite understand everything yet? Okay. Have faith in God even when you don't understand. Even when it doesn't make sense, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, even if it doesn't feel like it yet, even if you can't see it yet. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Amen. My word, our salvation depends on our understanding of how we treat other people. Isn't that amazing? Oh, did I not say that right? I surely didn't get much excitement. Our salvation depends on how we speak about and treat other people. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. In case you think I was making that up. Now, we're getting around to it. Let's study the word forgive. This is a real complicated word. Only because there was a few Englishmen, that's those people that took the original and translated into English, they messed it up. They messed it up. Here's what it means. Exact definition of the exact word that Jesus used. I can give you the number. It's 863. The word itself is aphieme. It means to send or go forth. It means to forsake, lay aside, leave, let, omit, put away, remit, suffer, or yield up. It doesn't mean pronounce no debt. Listen to me again. It does not mean that you can pronounce that there is no debt. Here's what Christians like to believe. They believe this scripture means, well, see, Chuck bought a new truck the other day, and he's making payments. So as a good Christian, I can say, Chuck, I forgive you. Therefore, you don't have to make any more payments. That's what Christians want to believe. I'm sorry, it's not what happens. But if I go to the credit corporation that you used, and I go to them and I buy that paper, that company that you owed will forgive you, but they don't forgive the debt because now you're going to make the payments to me. Now, does that make sense to you? Well, that's what this word means. It means to loose, to set forth. That means that I'm not going to set in judgment over your sin. I refuse to do that. I can know the fruit, I can know a sin, but I will not judge the sin. It means that I'm supposed to say, off, away, get away. Now let me get down to the Thayer's definition, which is a good one. It's complete. It means to send away. It means to command, go away or depart. It means to send forth, to let go, to disregard. It means not to discuss. I like that one. Do not discuss it. It means keep no longer. It means leave behind. In order to go to another place. It means all mutual claims are abandoned. Do you know what Christians like to do to each other? They like to say, oh, I forgive you, brother. And go over here and tell this guy about him. I always said that if a dog runs out and bites you on the leg, you've got two choices. You can spend the rest of your life trying to kill that dog, or you can stay away from that dog, which is the Christian way. I only gave you two choices. You've got to choose one. I'm not giving you a third, because then you'd try to misuse it. It means to leave that sin or that one that's sinning, not taking him as a companion, to get our prayers heard, to get them answered. We must send on all offenses and hurts. We send them on down the line. In other words, we don't have any. I don't have any. Has some people done me wrong? Well, I guess in your opinion they have because you still think so. But I'm telling you, I'll eat dinner with them tomorrow. I'll have no problem. Will you have a problem if I do? Release them to Jesus. Put them behind us as if they had never happened. Release them to Jesus. Put them behind you. Then let Jesus do whatever He needs to do. How about debts? We have a pretty good understanding about a debt. It's something that's owed. The definition is a due, or morally a fault. It points to something that's accruing. How you say that word? Is that it? Accruing. You know what accruing is? That means you're never released from it. It's just getting bigger. That's what Christians have when they're indebted or they believe somebody else is indebted to them. They have something that's growing. It's growing about them personally or about someone else. It's growing. It's not getting smaller. It's growing. Now listen. That which is justly or legally due, a debt. Now I want to talk to you. I want right here for a second. I'm not saying. I said to begin with that you have a debt that you could never pay. That was a debt due to a sin. Are you being born into sin? You can never pay it. You never did pay it. Anybody in here figured out a way to pay for the debt of sin? Seriously, have you got one way to pay for your debt of sin? There is no way. The debt of sin was paid by Jesus, not you. You owe Him the rest of your life. I'm not talking about that debt. Can we just establish that we're all debtors to Christ? Because if you will, keep that in mind. I'll show you some scripture about that in a minute. But if you and I will get all on the same plane, no matter how long we've been a Christian, or no matter how proud are we of our past sins. I didn't see anybody jump at me about that. The person that's proud of their past sins talks about them a lot. Well, when I was a sinner, you still are. Or you wouldn't be talking about it. You'd have already forgotten them. Are we talking about forgiving ourselves? That means put them behind? Listen, that debt is a righteous debt. Our debt of sin is a righteous debt to Jesus because He made that righteous. We didn't. He's the one that pronounced that righteous. All have sinned. All have come short. But by Your word, Lord, I'm saved. Not by mine. There is no act that You've done. There's no scripture that you can quote that will save you. It's only by God's word are you saved. Not your word repeating God's word. It's by God's word only are you saved. Who's the word? Jesus. Not complicated. I'm just trying to get our thought process a little more narrowed. That isn't the debt I'm talking about. I'm talking about the debt. Boy, I could use some specific examples using really, really close people right now. That I know there's still some grudge. All you got to do is mention the name and the little look in the eye happens. That's what I'm talking about. That right there is what I'm talking about. This is what Jesus was talking about when He's talking about the Lord's Prayer. He didn't ask you to hold hands with everybody. He didn't ask you to speak sweet things to everybody. Those usually cover up the truth. One time, 1,000 years ago, under a lot of pressure, I looked at Renee. She was under a lot of pressure. I looked at Renee and I said, "You laugh too much. You laugh way too much. You're hiding too many things in that laugh. You need to be quiet. You need to stop laughing. And let's begin to face these too many things. We can hide a multitude of anger and hate in sweet talk. Let's don't talk to each other sweet. Let's talk truth, because that's what sets people free." Amen? All right. I owe Jesus, but I don't owe you squat. That's how I want to start, right here, right now, right with this thought. I'm trying to get through. You don't owe me anything. I don't owe you anything. Except what? And whose love? So what I owe you? My sweet talk? Love's a person, is it not? That's what I owe you. Jesus was also the truth. Then how can I separate them? How can I make you feel good by lying to you in sweet talk? I've just destroyed you. If the Bible says that truth will set you free, then the lack thereof will put you in bondage. So I have a debt of truth to you, since love and truth are the same person. That's the debt that I owe you, according to the Word. But you know what I don't owe you? I don't owe you time reading your letters of instruction to me. I don't owe that to you. You don't owe writing me one. Amen? What do you owe me? The truth? I had someone call me this week. Yeah, I think it was this week. If I mentioned the name, everybody would have that little gleam that I talked about a while ago. So I won't mention the name. And that person from that's been afar off said, "Is there still room in the church?" And I said, "Oh yeah." I want to say, "Oh no." Now come on, I'm just as fleshy as you sometimes. Maybe more, I don't know. But I wanted to say, "Oh no," and I said, "Oh yeah." And so they tried an end run on me. And they said, "Well, what about the people?" I said, "The people are okay. They're not your responsibility. You don't worry about the people. You worry about you." Now, I may have overstepped my bounds, but you'll have to be in rebellion to me to make that happen. Because I fully intend for many people to be right back here. Because that's God's will. It's not mine. I said recently in a little fleshy moment, they said, "How's the church doing?" I said, "Oh, it'd be fine if there weren't any people." Of course, that includes me, you know. Right? Church would be great if it wasn't for people. I kind of think that's the way the kingdom would be. It'd just be outstanding if there weren't any people. But that wasn't God's plan. A debt is something that is owed. The Bible says, "Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors." Now, a debtor is a person that owes. Well, this is a hard one here. There's a debt. That's something that's owed. The debtor is one that owes that something. Okay, I don't even have to go into that. But I'll give you one thing from the dictionary. It says, "One held by some obligation, bound by that obligation. One who has not yet made amends to the one whom he has injured." Who's a debtor? One that has not yet made amends to the one he injured. The Bible tells you this. Nobody wants to hear this, so I will make it military style. I want you all to hear this. There's a command that commands everybody to hear in military. Now I'm telling you, I want everybody to hear this. You cannot sin against man. I can back that up by Bible. No man can sin against another man. So no one has ever sinned against you. And you have never sinned against anyone. There's only one that you sin against, and that be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You're in the New Testament. So there's only one that you've sinned against, and that's that one that paid your debt before you were ever born. And you mocked it with sin. What is a debt? A debtor. One that has not repaid that one that has been injured. Anybody in here been injured? Just y'all do this. No. Nobody in here has been injured. If you think you have, you need to reconsider. You haven't given Jesus Christ His dues. Now, you and I as wrongdoers never owe to the flesh. We have wronged. We owe to Jesus because He only can tend to the settlement. Another point. A debtor can never be a giver. A debtor can never be a giver. If we do not release debts, we break God's law and cannot do His work. If we are a debtor, we will never be free to give God to the lost and the needy. Well, what are you trying to say here, Stan? If I worry about every thought process that happens in this place, I could never do the work of God. If you worry about every thought process that goes on around you, you will never be able to do the work of God. You'll always be trying to make somebody happy. That's called liberalism. There's no black and white. There's no right and wrong. There's just everybody's opinion. Well, everybody's got an armpit too. They don't always smell so good. As we study, now listen, you know why we're studying this? I forgot one point. We're studying this to see where we're praying wrong. We're not actually just studying to see how we can pray right. We're learning how we've been praying wrong. Oh, I felt some shudder in some seats. I never do anything wrong. I never have any guilt about anything. Oh, you need more forgiveness than anybody. I give it to you freely. You got God to meet. As we study our wrong praying, we begin to see how the enemy has us bound even in our prayer life. That dawned on me this morning, that there are many people that are bound by the enemy while they're praying. You don't think he's sly? He's got people that want to do right, bound, because they don't listen to how Jesus said pray. You know, I was in a rodeo recently, and these clowns, they had a thing against cell phones. Big, huge arena. And if a cell phone would go off, they'd make a big stink about it. And one time they went up and they grabbed the guy's cell phone. Now, it was a trick. They put the real cell phone in a pocket and pulled out a fake one. Set it in the middle of the arena during the bull fights, or the bull rides, and waited for the bull to run at it, and finally it did. And anyway, they made a big thing about that. So the whole point was, don't look at your cell phones. Anybody in here got a watch? Don't look at it. Don't look at it. I hate watches nearly as bad as I do cell phones. There was somebody's kinfolks in here last Sunday that was trying to make a point by looking at their watch. When you get to them, tell them it only makes me longer-winded. As per Jesus' instruction, we must learn to set ourselves free, and we must learn to set others free. One of the things that I caught in the Scripture one day when I was reading is that in the last day, when we're standing before Jesus, the one thing that will not be there is the accuser.
Hallelujah.
And for the first time in history, Christians will not be allowing accusations against Christians. Even sinners will not be accusing sinners. There won't be any accusations. I want to start living in some of that now. I don't want to accuse, and I refuse to be accused, because I will not be indebted to you, and I will not allow you to be indebted to me. Because I'm reading in here how that binds you, even in your prayer life. If I want Dale's prayers answered, I don't hold things against Dale. And if I don't want his prayers answered, I am not Christ-like. Right? So I don't want to be caught in that trap where I actually bind myself and others in their prayer life. I want to release them. We've got to loose others. We've got to loose ourselves. We've got to be like Jesus. Psalms 103:12 says this. This is the way Jesus is. Anybody in here want to say they're like Christ? Well, listen. He has removed our sins as far as from us as the east is from the west. Then what right would I have to bring any history up?
No right.
I wouldn't even want to, would I? Because then I would be anti-Christ. You know what's funny? You know what's cool? And for you guests, bear with us just for a second, but there was a lady that was here last week in the service. She enjoyed the service. She did not ridicule. Isn't that cool? When somebody doesn't ridicule the service, that's just, wouldn't that be like God? I remember a while back when she came for counseling, and I didn't even get a chance to say anything. And on her way out, she said, F you, to me. Of course, I told her that wasn't going to happen ever. Y'all can chuckle. Y'all can chuckle. This is not... My goodness, I thought I was in the midst of a bunch of children there for a second. What is cool about this is I could have held that against her. And I could have hurt me. And I could have hurt me. And I could have hurt me. Forget her for a minute. I could have hurt me. Then the cool part is that once I realized that I wasn't holding anything against them, then God can do something, and He is. He's working, and He's working strong. Now, we both got something to praise. But you know what this unforgiveness does? She could get help. She could get saved, and I would still be upset about it. Have you ever seen that happen? I've seen people that got spiritual help, and another person over here was mad at them, and they're mad because they got spiritual help. Now, the one that's getting the help is not being hurt. That person is. They haven't been praying the Lord's Prayer. They haven't learned how to release and loose and say, forget it. I'm going to put it behind me so I can move on. Amen. That's what the definition said.
That's right.
I can move on. Instead, oh, I have to be a protector of the kingdom. Do you know what? Do you know that there's a scripture in the Bible that says this? If you know somebody to be a dirt and rotten sinner, they're a spoiled brat, you can't help, they look beyond help, they're no good. It says, for this, for a Christian, release their flesh to Satan so that in the end they won't lose their soul. Do you know what that means? Even when you know them to be a dirty, rotten sinner, you still have to release them. You don't have ever any right to stand in judgment or I'm going to make you pay that debt one way or the other. Oh, no, you're not. God's going to kick you all over the place getting in His way. You know how big God's feet are? It's kind of like, it seems like I got a house full of grandbabies now. And I got to be careful where I walk, and they're innocent, and I got to be careful where I walk. That don't seem fair. I mean, they're the ones in the way. That's kind of the way God is. He has to watch His steps because so many of us are sprawled out on the floor kicking or goofing around, whatever we're doing, throwing a fit. Why don't we just get more like Christ and pray like He does? Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. That's what Jesus is, merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Yeah, but that's Him, that's not me. Well, that's the mistake. Yeah, but He's God. Yeah, but you call yourself Christ-like. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, we have the mind of Christ. If I have the mind of Christ, then it's all right for me to know when somebody is sinning. It's also all right for me not to hold it against them. Let me tell you something. God is Word. God is love. God is law. It's a trinity there. The law part, remember where the Scripture says, take no thought for tomorrow? Tomorrow has the ability to take care of itself. Well, see, those people that are looking for the by and by, they're out of the Word of God. Because the by and by means judgment. Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
You know what I'm telling you? I'm not looking for tomorrow. I could care less where God comes tomorrow or not. My Scripture in me says, even so, yes, come, Lord Jesus. That just means in case you're going to do it tomorrow, it's all right with me. It also means if you're not going to do it tomorrow, it's all right with me. I'm not going to dance about tomorrow, because let me tell you about tomorrow. There's more people being born every day than being saved every day. So every day that goes by, there's more sinners on the earth than saints. And so if I use that theology, tomorrow only puts more in hell. Well, Stan, that's morbid. Well, excuse me, I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write it. The percentages are that there's more going to go to hell than heaven. Oh, come on. Quit looking at me that way. Listen to me. The Bible says percentages. There's more of them. There's many, and they're going down a wide road to destruction. And there's few, and they're going down a narrow road that leads to eternal life. So don't look at me. Don't listen to somebody that says everybody's going to have one more chance right at the last minute and everybody's going to get saved. Not a chance. Because of what the Bible says. It says everybody will be given a chance. But it never ever said most of them are going to take it. Never said that. So I have to look for today. I have to look with encouragement that God is after those that are on their way to destruction. But I have to trust Him. Are you hearing me? What did we remember this Mark 11? Have faith in God. That means stop having faith in your peanut brain. Come on. I don't trust my brain, and I don't trust yours. But I trust God's.
Yeah.
And if we're smart, everything that's in this word, in that word, we'll run through our thought process through that before we'll ever allow that thought process out. We'll measure it, we'll weigh it, we'll wash it, and sometimes destroy it by the word. It's called put under subjection. Our power comes from the word. Listen to me. Not hearing the word, not quoting the word, but doing the word. I am an impatient man, in case y'all don't know that. And I want to hear y'all praying different. Wednesday night, when my dear wife prayed, I wanted to hear her pray different. And she did a little bit. I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer. I want you to understand the Lord's Prayer. I want you to do the Lord's Prayer. I want you to remember Mark 11, when it says, when you stand praying, it says, say, and believe what you say will happen. It don't say, get on your knees and beg. It did not say, get on your knees and beg. You are not a beggar. That cross represents something else. It takes you out of the beggar. You were a beggar in the Old Testament. You couldn't even beg for yourself. You had to do it through rituals, and you had to do it through another person. That cross opened a door for you to stand boldly in the presence of God. But it also stands for you can have faith in what Jesus says. All right, then we're going to believe when it says, don't pray like the heathen do. What's the heathen? Everybody else. All right, let me say it another way. Everybody that prays different than the Lord's Prayer is a heathen. Now, how do you like that one? Is that strong enough? Well, I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, don't pray like the heathen. Pray this way. I want to be as close to God as I can be. And if He shows me that I can get closer with the Lord's Prayer, then I'm going to get closer with the Lord's Prayer. Is it going to sound repetitious? Well, to the unlearned, it will sound repetitious. But you know what the Lord's Prayer does for you? It changes God from a person that's far off to one that's close. Because you begin with saying, hallowed be your name. And if you can get past that one, then maybe you can ask for something. It's hard for me to get past hallowed be your name. Because I see all the doors open and shut that are supposed to open and shut. I see all resolution, all solution, all peace, all forgiveness. Everything is in hallowed. Beginning, end, Alpha, Omega, Abba. Everything that you can call God is in hallowed. What else is in there? Learning to forgive. Learning to loose. Learning to release. I'm going to challenge you again. If you can just stay in that hallowed be His name, you may not even make it to this verse. It may already be taken care of. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You are not in the sin-forgiving business. Don't even go there. You are in the releasing and the loosing business. Hey, listen. Anybody ever here want to help anybody? Anybody here want to help anybody? Because if you do, one of these days you're going to run into a situation that's hopeless. You have nothing to say because you have no answer. Your mouth is going to drop at the size of their problem. What are you going to do then? You have one alternative. You have one option, you have one answer, and that'd be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Don't try to be Him because your mouth just fell open. You must understand there's some things beyond you. Surely you understand that. I know all of you tremendous Bible scholars, and I know you know the Scripture from front to back. I know you got it tattooed on your arm and some other places. I know that you carry it around waving it and shouting. But I also know that you've been in some places where there aren't any answers. So let that be a point to you. That if you're in the way, if you have not learned to release and loose and forgive, you can't be a giver of the answer, Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? When I learn to say I am forgiven, then I can tell you about the forgiver. But according to this scripture, if I can't release you to Jesus Christ, I have not forgiven you. I don't care how bad you've been hurt or betrayed. If I can't tomorrow, not only sit down and have dinner with you, but introduce you to the one that I love, I have not forgiven. Let me go one step further. If I not only can't introduce you, but if I can't pray with you and hope the best for you, I have not forgiven. And I'm a debtor, and I've held you in a debtor's position. We're both losers.
Yes.
We're both losers. I recently talked to a pastor that him and his wife threatened to put me in jail one time, sitting in their house. I didn't do nothing, but you don't have to do anything to be accused. Recently, I met that man, and I said, look, how you doing? Good. I said, look, if you ever need a place to meet, call me. We have a church. Come on. Is that the way Jesus would do it? Now, do you think I'm going to keep an eye on that man? Yes. I'm not a fool. I'm not a fool. Didn't I say that the charge of the kingdom was in our hands? Well, that means we're going to be those fruit inspectors, and sometimes we're going to get rid of some rotten fruit. Amen? Okay. But that doesn't mean that I don't know the solution and that I don't want you to know it. I want everybody in the world to know the solution. I want Saddam Hussein to know the solution. Then if he refuses it, I'll shoot him for you. I have no problem with that. I'm not a weak man. God says he hates the soft or the effeminate. That's not me. I don't want it to be you. Anybody admire the results that Jesus Christ got on this earth? Do you admire the fact that everybody he laid his hand on was healed? Do you admire that fact? Do you admire the fact that he could talk to some old tree and it just wither up? Do you admire that fact? Do you admire the fact that he could walk on water? That he could move thousands? That armies could fall at his side just because he said, that's me? Do you admire that fact? Well, maybe it's because he knew how to pray. And maybe he's trying to share the secret with us today. Maybe. Worth a chance?
Amen.
Praise God. Stand with me. To pray and do as Jesus taught and did will bring the results that Jesus got.
Amen.
One more time. Then we'll pray. To pray and do as Jesus taught and did will bring the results that Jesus got.
Amen.
By the way, one of the greatest results that Jesus got was he was highly honored of the Father. Can't think of anything better. I cannot think of anything better to tell you that he was highly exalted by the Father. That should be our goal. Praise the Lord. Now, you guessed, put away the foolishness. Listen to the Word. You know Jesus acted kind of silly once in a while? Well, was he a man? Did he have every feeling we had? Okay, then every once in a while he cracked a joke. I'll guarantee he did. Don't judge me if you don't think that I've got my collar on right or that I didn't act. Somebody said last Sunday that I can't believe a preacher would talk about politics. Oh, man, I own politics. You should too. If you have dominion in this earth, then you should speak up and say so. Your opinion is highly exalted to the Father. And for a little recommendation, I don't think you'd be a Democrat and be a Christian, but that's just, we'll let that go by. We'll let that go by. But I forgive you. Look at this. I'll tie it in. I forgive you if you are. Now, come on. I'm trying to make a point here. I'm just not trying to be silly. I want you to take God serious even when we're joking. This is life and death. God smiles. Did you know God laughs at us once in a while? But not mocks at us. You know, I looked at my little granddaughter in a high chair yesterday, and I don't know what she had in her head, but she was going, watching her hand just going like this, and I'm over there laughing. She discovered something that I knew how for a long time. How much more so God? When we discover something and we kind of get a funny slant on it, he kind of chuckles, and he said, they're doing the best they can. They'll get there. But he loves so much that he died. If you want to be like him, take up your cross and follow him. That means die to what you want and die to what you believe. Live for the Word. Live for the Word. Live for the Word. All hearts clear? We'll be happy to lay hands. We'll be happy to touch anything you ask for to a point. We will do. If there's any needs. Okay, there's none. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Our Father who art in heaven, my Father, hallowed be your name. Exalted and holy and pure, blameless are you. Your ways, what you're known for, your name. With all of our hearts, Lord, we exalt you and love you. Forgive us the trespasses that we've committed right here this morning in front of the public. Let all words that I've spoken fall to the ground, but let those words that you wanted for heart purposes fall on loaded ears, heavy hearts. Let it save and deliver and heal. Let your word give direction and peace and love and strength and power, authority. Not for us, Lord, not so that we can strut and tell everybody who we are, but so that we can say, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. Right here in this earthen vessel and in every earthen vessel that we touch, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done. I pronounce these hearts, Lord, that they live to glorify You and for Your kingdom they work. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. By Your word they are saved, delivered, and healed. By Your word they have Your mind, Lord Jesus. By Your word that everything they do say and think is filtered through Your word, by Your word. Hallelujah. That those things that are hindering, I break in Jesus' name. And by Your word, they're free. Yes, free indeed. By Your word, every place they move, every place they put their foot, everything they lay their hand to, it prospers. It's part of the kingdom's prosperity. And they give all honor and all glory to You. Hallowed be Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallowed be Your name. We praise You, Father. We praise You, Father. Send these people out in Your love, in Your will, to do Your work. Cause them to return the next time the church doors are open. Not for us, but for You, Lord. Let it all be about You. For that, we give You praise and honor and glory forever and forever. Start now because You're going to do it for eternity. We give You praise and we give You honor and we give You glory. Praise Your Lord. In Jesus' name, we say these things are done. We say as Jesus said, it is finished. And we do it for You. Everybody that agrees says amen. Be dismissed. Be friendly. Meet some people.